Hello, hello, hello. We are back. I am Jay Smoove, and this is Ball is Life. You know, we had a week break because of spring break, but now I am back to give you my input on the basketball world. And what a day, because today is the start of March Madness and the NCAA tournament, and it's already started crazy. I'll get you updated on that in the first two games. I'm also going to talk about Phil Jackson. He signed with the New York Knicks, so I'll give you my thoughts on that. And also, the NBA playoffs are coming around, so I'll tell you who's the hottest team right now and who teams should be worrying about. So, let's get into it. March Madness has started, and a lot of you out there filled out your brackets, you know, maybe just for fun or maybe like a pool you got at work. But there was already an upset happening today. Dayton, the 11th seed, knocked off Ohio State. So Ohio State is done. And if you guys out there had Ohio State going out far, like going that far into the tournament like I did, your brackets are already in the toilet, because I really did expect Ohio State to move on far, at least to the Elite Eight, but or the Sweet 16, but they got knocked off by Dayton, and that shouldn't. At first, I was surprised, but I shouldn't be surprised, because you know Dayton always put in a good showing in the tournament each of the last couple of years they've been in there, so I'm not surprised Dayton's a good team. So, you got to give Dayton props. And it was a close game. You know, Dayton hit a game-winning shot with about 3 seconds left to go in the game. Then Ohio State, they pushed it down the court. They gave it to their man, the senior, Aaron Kraft, and he couldn't get it to fall. He threw up the shot, couldn't get it to fall. So, you know, kind of heartbreaking for him because it's his last year. He's a senior, and it must be tough for him. But he's going home real early, really early. Second game of the NCAA tournament, and my bracket's already done. But that was a good game. Very good game. Got to give Dayton props. You know, they played real good defense. I was watching the game earlier today, and they were just really shutting down Aaron Kraft and the Ohio State Buckeyes. Ohio State couldn't get anything going on offense. They looked too bunched up. They weren't spread out. And Dayton made Ohio State play their style of basketball, and which was like up and down. And then when Dayton was on the offensive side of the ball, you know, they controlled the tempo. They were doing what they wanted to do. They were getting to the spots they wanted to, getting, you know, they were throwing into the post. They were setting pick and rolls. So Dayton looked really good. So whoever they play the winner of Syracuse and Western Michigan. So whoever wins that game, they're going to have a handful with Dayton, because Dayton's a really good team that can, you know, they made everyone surprise earlier today, so they can even make more noise in the tournament. They even can move on, maybe beat Syracuse or Western Michigan and move on to the Sweet 16. So Dayton is a team to watch. Another game today, which is going on actually right now, that people should watch and look closely, is Cincinnati and Harvard. I have Harvard winning this game, pulling off the upset, because Harvard is a good team. They can play. They may play in the Ivy League, and you know the Ivy League doesn't get a lot of respect because you know it's all the smart schools. You got Yale, Harvard, Cornell, Columbia, all those teams in there. So you know they don't get much respect in any sport they play, maybe except hockey or something. But this Harvard basketball team can play, and I thought they got kind of robbed, because I don't think they should be a 12 seed. I think they got underestimated. I think they should be, you know, maybe a little higher, maybe a 10, 9, 8 seed. But they got the 12 seed, and they're playing the Cincinnati Bearcats. And right now, Harvard is up 36-29, and They're a team that can also make some noise, like Dayton. They can also, you know, make it to the Sweet 16 and make a noise in their part of the bracket. And I did pick them to beat Cincinnati because Cincinnati only has their main guy. Cincinnati struggles to score, I should say. They really struggle to score. And not like Harvard. Harvard has five players who average double digits in points per game. So Harvard is a team to watch. It just went into halftime right now. So Harvard is up 36-29 at halftime. So Harvard is a team that teams should be afraid of and should watch because, you know, they're really good. They can really play. They play great defense. Like right now, they held Cincinnati to 29 points at halftime, and Cincinnati's a 5 seed. Cincinnati's a team that people see that that they expect to go far, and I don't like Cincinnati. I think Cincinnati got a real bad matchup against Harvard because Harvard matches up well against Cincinnati. And right now, they can see they're up 36-29, Harvard. So Harvard is a team to watch. I like Harvard. I don't think I got them going on to the next round, but I don't see them. They're probably going to end up facing Michigan State. And, you know, Michigan State, I got them winning the tournament because they're on fire. They look good in the Big Ten tournament. So, but Harvard, you know, maybe they can knock off of Michigan State, but we'll see. But I am predicting that Harvard will beat Cincinnati today because they're really good. You know, they got, like I said, they got five scorers who average double-digit points, and Cincinnati really struggles to score, and Harvard plays really good defense. They're like a Dayton. They make you play their type of game and not have them play your game. So that's another game if you're not watching, you should turn on and put on right now and watch it. And also the last game today that is a must see that can also be another upset is the 7 seed Connecticut against the 10 seed St. Joseph's. And I got St. Joe's winning this one because Cincinnati, Connecticut is a team that really struggles to score. They struggle to score. And St. Joe's, they're very versatile. They're hot right now. They just won the Atlantic 10 Conference Tournament. They knocked off VCU in the tournament championship game. So St. Joe's is a team. They're hot right now. And, you know, the team's always hot entering the playoffs or entering the postseason are always the team to fear. So, you know, Connecticut's got their... They got a handful in St. Joe's, which I predict St. Joe's winning and beating Connecticut. Because they can spread out the floor. They're very versatile. They got a good bench. They can shoot the three, give it down to the post, do pick and roll. And then their defense, like I said, it's very smothering. They smother the opponents. They, you know, they trap them, do that full court press. So it's going to be a good game. That's a good game to watch today. So we got some good games in the first couple of days. So we got half the games today and half the games tomorrow. And then games to watch tomorrow there's also some really good games. Let's start off with, another 5-12 matchup. It's VCU versus Stephen F. Austin. And a lot of people don't know who Stephen F. Austin is. I don't. Before the tournament, I had to do some research on Stephen F. Austin and see what they're all about. But they're on a 28-game winning streak. They won their conference tournament, so they got an automatic bid. And they're playing a VCU team that's, you know, it lost its last game to St. Joe's in the Atlantic 10 Tournament Conference Championship. And, yes, VCU and Shaka Smart, their coach over there at VCU, they're all about defense. The last couple of years, you know, they made that surprise run a couple of years ago, made it all the way to the Final Four. So they're, you know, VCU, everyone knows them now. But the Stephen F. Austin can be like a VCU from a couple of years ago because they do play good defense. They can score. They can shoot the basket. They can shoot the basketball. And don't be surprised if they knock down, they knock off VCU, because, like I said, they're hot, and you know they're on a 28 game winning streak. And I can see him beating VCU. I don't have Stephen F. Austin winning. I still see VCU pulling it off. But don't be surprised if Stephen F. Austin wins and knocks out VCU. Another game tomorrow that people should watch, that you guys should watch, is an 8-9 matchup off in the West region. It's Gonzaga versus Oklahoma State. And that's a very interesting game. Very, very interesting game. Because you know, Oklahoma State came in ranked during the preseason. At the start of the season, Oklahoma State was ranked. And then they lost their star player, Marcus Smart. He was suspended. So they went on a little losing streak during the season. But then they picked it up at the end, and they got a 9 seed. Oklahoma State is one of the best teams in the country. Their record may not show it at 21-12, but they can make some noise too as well. I see Oklahoma State being Gonzaga, but you know, Gonzaga, they play in the Big West Conference, and you know, the Big West doesn't get a lot of respect, just like the Ivy League. So Gonzaga's not a team that's going to just lie down and let Oklahoma State run all over them. It's going to be a tough battle. I do see Oklahoma State winning. And then the winners probably of that Gonzaga-Oklahoma State game, they're probably going to play Arizona, which is the number one seed in that West region. And either of these teams can knock off Arizona or give Arizona a tough battle. But I do see Oklahoma State winning, because you know, of course, of their man Marcus Smart. Marcus Smart, you know, he's a top NBA prospect. A lot of teams, and scouts are watching Marcus Smart. So you know, there's gonna be a lot of NBA scouts in the crowd watching Marcus Smart, and he's a man on a mission. You know, he wants to put it in his final. He's building on his resume for the NBA. So he's going to put in, you know, his last show what the scouts, what he's got. So he's a man on a mission. And so is Oklahoma State. Oklahoma State, his team, is also a team on a mission, because, you know, they wanted to live up to the hype that they were receiving in the beginning of the season. So that should be a good game tomorrow. Gonzaga, Oklahoma State. But I predict Oklahoma State to win that game. And then the last game that should be a good one, or should be a very interesting one, is Massachusetts and Tennessee. So Tennessee, they just played yesterday in the first four to get into the tournament, and they beat Iowa in overtime. That was a good game. So if you didn't see that, that was a really good game. I thought Iowa was going to pull it off. But Tennessee pulled it off in overtime, and Tennessee is a team that Massachusetts should be afraid of. And I do see Tennessee pulling off the upset and beating Massachusetts in the first round, because you know, Tennessee, they're aggressive. They like to get into you. They pressure defense. They can also score a lot. You know, they can post the ball, pick and roll. So it's gonna be I see Tennessee overpowering Massachusetts. I don't think it's going to be close. I think Tennessee will win at least by 10 points, at least. I think Tennessee's too good. And I think Massachusetts, nothing against them, but I do think that they kind of got, you know, they kind of got a 6 seed. I think that was too high. Maybe a 7 seed or an 8 seed. I don't think they deserved a 6 seed. I think there was other teams that deserved a 6 seed other than Massachusetts, but you know, what can you do? You're not part of the selection committee. So I think that hurts them getting the 6 seed, Massachusetts, because they were going to play either Iowa or Tennessee. Tennessee pulled it off, and they're playing a Tennessee team that's really, really playing well right now. They're playing very well, and I see them knocking off Massachusetts. But you know, I don't know. My bracket's already done. Ohio State really, really, really messed me up. I really thought they were going to win, but Dayton pulled it off. Dayton pulled it, pulled off the game winner. Second game, and my bracket's already in the toilet. But what can you do? That's why they call it March Madness, because you don't know what to expect. There's always these teams that you never even heard of making runs. Even though I have heard of Dayton, I just didn't think Dayton would pull it off. But I should have went with Dayton. You know, they always make a good, they have a good performance in the tournament every year. So we'll see. It's just getting started. I'm really excited. So excited. This is the best time for basketball right now. You got March Madness, and then you got the NBA playoffs coming around. So basketball is in its highest state right now. It's at the peak because there's about to be some good basketball be played over the next couple of weeks, pro and college. So we'll see what happens. We're going to take a break right now, and then when we come back, I will talk about Phil Jackson joining the New York Knicks. This is Ball is Life, and I am your host, Jay Smooth. We'll be back right now.
Let's join together.
welcome back. Welcome back. Just to update you on the scores right now going on in the game. So right now, number 9 seed Pittsburgh is beating Colorado right now, 65-36 with 7:20 remaining in the second half. So it looks like Pittsburgh is going to move on. At halftime, Harvard is up on Cincinnati, 36-29. That's a good game people should watch. Syracuse is up 21-11 over Western Michigan with 7:33 left in the first half. And Oregon and BYU just tipped off. It is 9-7 Oregon with 15:28 remaining in the first half. So we'll keep you updated on those games throughout the show. See what happens. And right, let's get back. Let's go to the pros now. Some big news made. Big news. Big move made by the New York Knicks, and it's not getting a player, but, you know, adding a great basketball mind to their organization in Phil Jackson. They signed Phil Jackson. He's going to be their president of now. So, it's a good move. You know, he doesn't want to coach anymore. You know, it's too, you know, all the road trips is too much on his body. He's getting older now. He's getting there up in age. But they needed someone. The Knicks needed something. And maybe signing Phil Jackson was a, I don't know if it was a desperate move. There's pros and cons. Because I don't want to say it's a great move. But it is a move that they needed to make. Because if you can look at the Knicks, they're really, really bad. Just nothing's going right. The whole front office, the owner, no one likes the owner. The team is just playing real bad. You know, they basically given up. They given up on their coach, Mike Woodson, and you can tell. So, you know, bringing in Phil Jackson, they're hoping he can turn things around. Because if you don't remember, just last year, they were a 54-win team. They had 54. You know, they were expected, you know, to make a run in the playoffs. They did get knocked off by Indiana in the second round. But this was a team that was, you know, on the rise. They've been bad so long. They've been bad for so long. And then, you know, they finally made the playoffs a couple of years in a row. And they were a team that was back there. The Knicks, they were back in the high prestige. They were one of the elite teams in the league. And then this year, so much higher expectations. You know, everyone thought they can make a run at beating the Heat in the East or beating the Pacers in the East. And then this happened. They're still fighting. You know, they somehow can still make the playoffs because, you know, they play in the Eastern Conference, but I don't see them making. They're probably not going to make the playoffs. So, you know, they brought in Phil Jackson to turn things around. And also, you know, Carmelo Anthony, he's a free agent. And, you know, it's been reported that he's very unhappy and he's just ready to leave. He's ready for the season to be over and he's just ready to go. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. But, you know, they brought in Phil Jackson, you know, hoping, and they want to convince Carmelo that, you know, things are changing and hopefully he can stay in New York Knicks. But I don't know. I don't know what they got to do. And then, you know, hopefully Phil Jackson's got it in them because it's a mess over there. They got so much bad contracts. Like, for example, they got Bargnani, who he has a big contract that they probably need to get rid of. They got Amari Stoudemire, who they signed him to a couple years ago. They signed him to like a 6-year, $100 million contract, and he hasn't been the same player that he was in Phoenix. So it's going to be interesting on what Phil Jackson does, because it's just a straight mess over there. But what Phil Jackson will bring to the Knicks is, you know, smart basketball IQ. So he's going to make smart moves. He's going to do what he thinks is best for the team. So people might question his moves, you know, they might question what he does, but he's going to make smart moves. He's going to, I'm pretty sure he's probably, they're going to let go of the coach Mike Woodson. It's unfair to Mike Woodson because, you know, he's done the best he can with the players he has, and they just totally gave up on him. But he's going to do, they're probably going to get rid of Mike Woodson, and they're going to probably bring a coach that Phil Jackson likes that will run, like, maybe the triangle offense, which Phil Jackson ran as a coach. He created the triangle offense. So he's going to bring in a coach that he's familiar with and that he is comfortable with in coaching the team. He's going to bring in players that fit the system. So, you know, maybe he can turn it around. Maybe. But I'm not sure because it's been reported that Phil Jackson's going to be running the team from, like, his house, his home in Montana in Los Angeles. And as the president, I'm thinking, like, shouldn't you be in New York working in the headquarters? I love Phil Jackson. I'm a Phil Jackson fan. I have nothing against Phil Jackson, but shouldn't you be in New York? That's where the team is. That's where the headquarters is. Why are you going to be in Montana and Los Angeles? Yeah, sure, we got Skype and, you know, FaceTime and conference calls and all that because of today's technology, but I don't think it's, like, the same. Like, how are you going to try to convince Carmelo, you know, stay, you know, we signed Phil Jackson, he's going to be the president, and everything's going to change, but he won't be here most of the time. He'll be in Los Angeles and Montana. If I was Carmelo, I'd be like, why is he not going to be in New York? Why is he going to be in Montana and Los Angeles? He's our president. He's the team president. Shouldn't he be in New York? And that's what I find weird. I understand that Phil Jackson, you know, he's getting up there in age. You know, he doesn't want to travel as much. He wants to live comfortably. And I understand that. If I was that age, you know, I would want to live comfortably. I wouldn't want to be traveling. But you signed up for the job, so you should, you know, take the responsibility and be in New York during the season. And then, like, once the season's over in the off season, then you can live in Montana and Los Angeles. You shouldn't just, not just the, you can't decide when you want to go to New York, you know. It's his, he's got to be there. It's not going to have the same, like, effect and feeling. And then, maybe, you know, the owner's all on board for this right now, but, you know, maybe once time progresses and he's probably, you know, maybe, and then he's gonna think, like, why is Phil not here, then he's gonna start questioning the move he made. So it's interesting. It could be a, you know, it can be a great move and a very great success, and then the next couple of years the Knicks will be back at the elite with the top teams, or it can be a complete disaster. It can be, they can just crash and burn, and it just ends up in a bad divorce between Phil Jackson and the Knicks. But we will see. I really don't know. That's still, like, I don't want to say bugs me, but it kind of just, like, it doesn't make sense. How can you run the team from Montana and Los Angeles? But, you know, Phil Jackson, he will bring his great basketball mind and sign. And he'll attract a lot of players. I don't know about Carmelo. I think Carmelo is just done, and he just wants to leave. Carmelo, you know, there's reports out there saying that Joakim Noah, the Chicago Bulls, was, you know, recruiting him, saying, come to Chicago, play with me and Derrick Rose. So, you know, and then there's also reports out there that the Lakers are planning to make on a big push for Carmelo Anthony. But, you know, Phil Jackson, he will, you know, attract good players with names, with, not, I don't want to say big names, but with known players, not like guys that they really don't know. So he'll bring in quality players, and the Knicks, he's just got to, first, before signing players, he's just got to sort out that mess. They have really no caps. They're over the cap. They got no money to spend. They're gonna have to, if they sign players, they're gonna sign, they're gonna have to pay a huge luxury tax, which they're already doing. You know, they got $30 million combined with Bargnani and Amari Stoudemire that they got to figure out with. And then they got J.R. Smith, who's been benched multiple times over the year. Over the year. So, and then they got to figure out what they're going to do with the coaching situation. They just got a whole bunch of, they just got a big old mess that Phil Jackson's got to figure out. And then after they figure all that out and, you know, get some money, because I do expect him to cut players. They got Carmelo's contract coming off the books because he's a free agent. I see them probably releasing J.R. Smith in the offseason or trying to trade J.R. Smith. They got Bargnani or Stoudemire is either going to get traded or cut. So expect one of them or both of them might be gone. Maybe the best option for the Knicks right now is just to, like, you know, cut all the players with the big contracts and just start over and just trust in Phil Jackson to bring players that he wants, that fits his system, bring a coach that coaches his system, and, you know, just start fresh, because it's where they're at now with all those contracts. Look at them. They have a losing record. They're almost like 20 games under 500. And it's just been a disaster this whole season. So expect big moves, big changes to be made in the New York, because, you know, they gotta, and also, you know, there's Brooklyn out there, and, you know, the Brooklyn Nets, and there, you know, there's that Brooklyn and the New York, the Manhattan, they really don't like each other. So, you know, that's, they got to keep up with Brooklyn, because, you know, now Brooklyn's going to get all the headlines in the New York media. So the Knicks got to make some moves, and they brought in Phil Jackson to be the man. He's the guy now. So if things don't go well next season, you know, Phil Jackson's going to get all the blame. And I'm pretty sure he's going to be ready for the media, you know, working out here in Los Angeles and then also in Chicago coaching. He's won, and now he's coached two of the greatest players of all time in Michael Jordan and Kobe Bryant. And he's also coached. He had to deal with the Shaq and Kobe fiasco back in the early 2000s. So I think he's up to the challenge. And I hope him the best out there. I really do. I'm a big Phil Jackson fan. I love him. He's great. But I don't know. I don't think he knows what he signed up for with the Knicks, because, God. Other than the Lakers, the Knicks are just, or even, I don't know if they're worse or not. But Phil Jackson, he has 11 rings. He's one of the last members of the last New York Knicks team that won the NBA championship back in 1973. He is one of the members on that team. And, he's got 10 rings, championship rings, as a coach for the Lakers and the Bulls. So it's going to be interesting. It's going to be very interesting to see what happens. But expect Phil Jackson to hopefully get the job done, because, you know, that would just be horrible if he didn't. I don't know if it would hurt his reputation. Maybe, like, you know, how Michael Jordan owning the Bobcats kind of hurt his reputation a little bit. Like, he was a great player, but, you know, he's not a very good owner and executive. So we'll see. We will see. And right now, to update you on the Harvard-Cincinnati game, it is 42-33 Harvard with 6:39 left in the second half. So look at Harvard. They're making my prediction seem right now. Well, there's still a lot of game to be played, so you can't count out the Bearcats. But if not watching it, tune in to Harvard Cincinnati. It's on TNT. So we're going to take a quick break. And then after, when we come back, I will be talking about the teams, the NBA teams that are hot right now that teams should fear in the playoffs. So we'll be back. This is Ball is Life. I am your host, Jay Smoove, and we'll be back after this quick break.
See, I want to give you some good loving.
Good loving.
Turn your lights down low.
Cuckoo.
Never try to resist.
Cuckoo.
Oh, no. Oh, let my love come tumbling in. I love you, and I want you to know right now, ooh, I love you, and I want you to know right now, 'cause
Welcome back. Just to update you on the games, Pittsburgh just defeated Colorado 77-45. So Pittsburgh is moving on, and they will play the winner of Florida and Albany. So Pittsburgh moves on. Harvard is up 42-36 over Cincinnati with 15:48 remaining in the second half. Syracuse and Western Michigan. Syracuse is up 38-21 with less than a minute to go in the first half. And Oregon is winning 20-14 with 10 minutes left in the first half. Oregon is defeating right now BYU. So keep you updated. See where those games go. And now let's get back into NBA, some pro basketball. And let's talk about the Western Conference and the playoffs and how that's setting up. So there's four teams right now battling for the last three spots. And those four teams are the Phoenix Suns, Dallas Mavericks, Memphis Grizzlies, and the Golden State Warriors. Golden State, right now it goes Golden State at the 6th seed, Memphis Grizzlies at the 7th seed, Dallas is at the 8th seed, and then the Phoenix Suns are on the outside looking in at the 9th seed. But it's only a two-game difference. They're two games behind the Dallas Mavericks for the 8th spot. But it's interesting. It's very, very interesting. You know, the West is always considered the best conference, even though Miami's won the last two times. Or the Eastern Conference has won the championship the last two times with the Miami Heat winning. But the West, you know, they're always considered the best because they have just so many. There's just so many good teams. There's nine teams battling for 8 spots. There are 9 good teams. One good team is going to miss the playoffs. And that's a shame because, you know, if you look over at the East has teams with worse records with under 500 records making the playoffs. So like, for example, you know, there's the Charlotte Bobcats, the Wizards. I think the Detroit Pistons are fighting for a playoff spot. So it's kind of sad. But the West, you know, it's always competitive. The best teams play in the West. And there's four teams battling for the last three spots. And the team right now that's the hottest right now that's looking real good that I watched them is the Dallas Mavericks. I watched them a couple days ago. They were playing the Oklahoma City Thunder, and they were up by 20 in Oklahoma City, just dominating the game. Dirk wasn't even doing a lot. It was mainly Monty Ellis. There was Jose Calderon. Brandon Wright was playing good. Vince Carter. So Dallas is a team. They're at the 8th spot right now, and right now at the playoffs start today, they'll match up against San Antonio, who has the number one record in the Western Conference. But Dallas is a team that, you know, they've won a championship 3 years ago, which surprised everyone. And they're a veteran team. They've been there. They know what needs to be done to get to the championship, to the finals. So Dallas is a team that if I was the San Antonio or Oklahoma City or whoever's that team that's going to end up with that one seed, I wouldn't want to play them because they are real tough. They're a veteran team that knows what to do, that knows how to beat you, because they match up well with any team in the Western Conference. They match up well with San Antonio, Oklahoma City, the Clippers. Who else? The Portland Trailblazers, they match up well with. So, gotta watch them. And then, you know, Golden State, you know, they got off to a slow start. Everyone thought they can be, you know, one of the top three teams in the West, but they're sitting here at the sixth spot. They'll probably end up playing the Clippers if the playoffs start today. They'll probably match up with the Clippers, but, you know, maybe they can get that 5 spot or the 4 spot because it's very close. There's a very close. It's a big old bunch, just 9 teams. They're very close. They all match up well with each other. But the team back to the Golden State Warriors, they're a team, you know, everyone expected, they thought highly of. You know, they had a good showing in the playoffs last year. They could have knocked off San Antonio. They played, they were, other than the Miami Heat, who beat the Spurs in the finals last year, the Golden State Warriors were the team that gave the Spurs the most trouble, other than the Heat. They matched up well. You know, they got the two shooters in Stephen Curry and Klay Thompson, the Splash Brothers. Then they had Harrison Barnes, who's very athletic, and he can also shoot the ball, and then he can get to the bucket, you know. And then they had, you know, David Lee, but he was hurt, so he was coming off the bench. But they had Andrew Bogut, Carl Landry, who they lost in free agency to the Kings, but they had Carl Landry. But they also, even though they lost Carl Landry and Jared Jack, they did add nice pieces. You know, they traded for Jordan Crawford from the Boston Celtics. They got Steve Blake from the Los Angeles Lakers. They added Maurice Spates, who's a veteran big man who can shoot. They signed him in free agency. Then they, you know, they added Andre Iguodala. That was their big signing. And yeah, he got off to a good start in the beginning of the year, but then he got, you know, injuries caught up with him, and he came back. So he's been playing well the last couple of weeks. So they're peaking at the right time. They did lose to the over break last week. They were playing the Clippers, and you know, they did get beat, but you know, there, you can't count them out. It's a 7-game series, so you got to think, can a team in the West beat Golden State in a 7-game series? You know, they got to defend that shooting, because they're the best shooting team in the NBA, hands down. They got the Splash Brothers. They got the best shooter in the world in Stephen Curry. You know, and then they got Klay Thompson, Harrison Barnes, Iguodala, Steve Blake coming off the bench. He can shoot. Jordan Crawford can shoot. So they're the best shooting team in the world right now. So you gotta think, can a team defend that shooting in a 7-game series? I think someone can, but it's gonna be very, very difficult to do it. Very difficult. Then you got Houston right now, who's sitting at the 4th spot, who's very hot right now. They should have beaten Miami. They let that one go last Sunday. They let that one go, but they should have beaten Miami. But they've been playing very well lately. You got the Portland Trailblazers, who, you know, they started off hot. They were in the beginning of the year, they were like 21-2 at one point. But, you know, they've kind of fallen off. But they're still a team that, they're a young team sitting at the 5th spot. They're a young team that, you know, I think the inexperience is going to hurt them in the playoffs. I don't see them coming out of the first round. It would be nice because they're a young team that's very exciting to watch, because they have, you know, their players, LaMarcus Aldridge, Damian Lillard, you know, we got Wesley Matthews. So they're a fun team to watch, but I think the inexperience is going to hurt them a lot in the playoffs. So I don't see them coming out of the first round. Plus, they're going to have to either play the Clipper team or a Houston. So I think Houston and the Los Angeles Clippers will just, you know, I don't see them like getting swept in the playoffs, but I see them just like not overpowering them, but they'll beat them easily, maybe 4-1 or 4-2. And then you got Memphis, who's been to the Western, they're sitting at the 7th seed. They've been to a Western Conference Finals 2 years ago. They could have made it. And, you know, they're two big men. They got Zach Randolph and Marc Gasol, one of the best big man combinations in the league. Both all stars. And then they got Mike Conley as their point guard, who can play. He's a very good, one of the best point guards in the league. So it's very, very interesting when you look at the 1-9 spot in the team, because the 1-9 teams in the West, because they're all very good teams. Even the Phoenix Suns, They were the ninth seed right now, that on the outside looking in. And my prediction, I don't see the Phoenix. They're probably not going to make it. I don't think they're going to make the playoffs. They're probably going to fall off and just miss the playoffs. But they're also a good team. They're going to be a 40-win team. Right now they're standing at 39-29, two games out of the eighth spot behind the Dallas Mavericks. But they're a surprise team. No one expected them to come along like this, to play as well as they are. But they got he should have been an all-star, their point guard, Goran Dragic. And then, you know, they got Eric Bledsoe, that they made a trade for him in the offseason, got him from the Los Angeles Clippers. They also got the two Morris brothers, who've been playing well off the bench. They have Gerald Green, who's just come out of nowhere. He was a bench player for the Indiana Pacers, came over here, signed a contract, became a starter, and he's showing Indiana that they should have kept him, because he's just lighting it up right now. He's been playing well the last month or so. So I don't see them making the playoffs, because, you know, also, again, they're young. They didn't get it off to a hot start like Portland did. Portland's in the mix because, you know, they got off to a hot start. They were number one. They were at the top of the Western Conference for a couple weeks, the first couple weeks of the season. But so that's why, you know, nothing against Portland, but that's mainly the reasons why Portland is where they're at the five spot, because they did get a very hot start, and which Phoenix didn't, it's not like Phoenix got off to a slow start. They got off to a decent start, but they've been, you know, battling for the last three spots the whole year. So I don't see Phoenix overcoming the Dallas Mavericks or the Memphis Grizzlies or the Golden State Warriors, because those three teams have experience and knows what it takes to get into the playoffs. And I think also the Mavericks, Grizzlies, and Warriors also have too much talent for Phoenix to compete with. So expect Phoenix not to make the playoffs, but if they do, I wouldn't be surprised, because they're also a very good team. But here's some games over the last couple of months of the season that are key games. So you got March 22nd, you got the Golden State Warriors versus the Spurs at the Spurs. So that's a potential second round, first round matchup. Depends on what happens. They know it's a rematch from the playoffs of last year, of the series last year. Then March 25th, you got the Mavericks at Oklahoma City Thunder. And like I said, just Saturday and Sunday, Dallas kind of they beat down the Thunder. They beat them down. They really can. They dominated them. So we'll see if Oklahoma City can get revenge. But also, let's talk about the Thunder. They've kind of been slumping. I've been watching them over break. I watched them. They played the Los Angeles Lakers. It was a nationally televised game. And the Lakers, they really took control of the Thunder. They beat them. They beat them by, it was like 4 or 5, but the Lakers were up by 20 at that point. And the Lakers are one of the worst teams in the league. And I was just, I don't know. The Thunder, it seems like Russell Westbrook is back. And it just seems like that when Westbrook is in the game with Durant is not as much of his leader as he is once, like when Westbrook is hurt. Because when Westbrook was hurt, Durant, he's already the leader, but Durant took more of the leadership role, and he demanded the ball, which star players should do. Like, if you're the star, you demand the ball and shoot the ball more, and he took advantage, and he was playing so. I saw a different player that I didn't think I would see from Kevin Durant. And then Westbrook came back, and that fire and that edge, it kind of just went away. It kind of disappeared. So that's always been the thing, is that Durant needs to be more of a leader when Westbrook is on the court. Because, you know, Westbrook, he's a competitive player and he wants to win. And I don't think he has anything against Kevin Durant. But he knows he's not going to just like, oh, Durant, here, you know, you can shoot. He's not going to baby Durant. He's going to do what he thinks is best for the team. So, you know, Durant's got to be more of a leader and, you know, ask for the ball more when Westbrook's in the game. So it's going to be in the interesting couple of months or a couple of weeks before the season ends. There's 20 games left in the season. So we'll see. The playoffs start in just a couple of weeks. You know, you got March Madness coming up. So it's a very exciting time in basketball right now. Very exciting time. You got the crazy race in the West for the last three spots. You got teams upsetting teams. Like Harvard right now, they are up 50-43 with 9:57 left in the second half. They were over Cincinnati. So it's going to be interesting. It's an interesting couple of weeks coming up. You know, the NBA playoffs are about to start. Again, you got the March Madness. So it's very fun. So stay tuned in. Stay just watch these games because it's going to be some great basketball the next couple of weeks. So I'm going to enjoy it. I hope you enjoy it. And we'll see. So thank you again. That's it for today for Ball is Life. I hope you enjoyed listening to me. Thank you for tuning in. I will catch me again here next week on Thursday on Penguin Radio at, again, same time, noon to 1. This is Ball is Live, and I'm Jay Smooth. Thank you again for joining me.